to me, bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to our brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I got a great crew here today. My man Eric Anders is here. I needed to talk to him with a K-N-E, as well as Andy Nguyen. Eric, you know Andy Nguyen?
I don't think.
They call her the Crasian, the hot Asian sensation. She won her fight last week. Let's get down to it. This is a great show. It's a great show. First of all, we got to talk to my man Eric because, by the way, not only is she crazy, but she said, I can't do the show this week. I said, no problem. And then she goes, what am I on? And starts yelling at me on Instagram. And I'm like,
everybody yells at you, man. I know how it goes.
Everybody yells at me. I go, you said last week. She goes, scroll down, motherfucker. Like, I was like, but it's okay. And then I go, you scroll down. She goes, well, now I can't do next week. So I'm like, all right, just whenever you want to come on the show. I'm happy to have you.
Just don't hurt me.
Because she won her fight in a lion fight last week. She looked fucking awesome.
Oh, nice.
Eric, first of all, so you were kicking ass last week, all right? You had your big fight. Now, you got rocked a little bit, right?
No, not even a little bit.
They were saying you might have been hurt. Were you hurt at all?
I mean, my nose was bleeding, but, you know, it is what it is, part of the fight. I came to get hit, and that's what they don't know.
Then you started throwing bombs. And then Dan Cormier was like, oh, it's over. It's over. It's over. You just start – it was like a – I mean, you were throwing fucking haymakers. Were you worried at all about gassing yourself out at all?
Not at all. My cardio is tip-top. I'm in the best shape I've ever been. And, yeah, I knew that even if the fight went to the next round, I would come out fresh and, you know, yeah, probably finish the fight. So, yeah, I fucked up a little bit.
Then the guy has his hands down. It looked like for a set, was it, did you just get like in like primal mode? Did you think you were lifting him up? Or what? Talk to me.
Nah, you know, he was kind of playing that game up, down. So, you know, I'm looking down at his back and I really can't see. And man, sometimes you just get in the zone kind of like in berserker mode. Like, you know, the ref, Herb Dean, is like, defend yourself. So, you know, the fight's only two or three, four, you know, just a few punches or strikes from, you know, being over with. And I thought he was on the way up, but he wasn't.
Now, Herb said he might have baited you. Do you think he baited you?
I mean, he was definitely playing the game. You know, if you watch that earlier in the fight, you know, he gets in that position, and he gets up, then he gets down, and he puts his hand on the ground. So, man, he was definitely playing the game too. And, you know, I guess he just played a little bit better than I did.
Now, you look ripped. You look like this is the best shape you've been. Did you cut out fat? What happened?
Man, I stopped running, actually. You know, I was running like 30 miles a week for 8 weeks, you know, previously in my previous fights to get ready for, you know, because I wanted my cardio and to cut weight, you know. So I probably ran 30 miles total for this fight, you know, the whole 8 weeks. So, I think that's the way to go now.
You look shredded. Now, Andy, let's talk to you for a sec because people were telling you quit. People were saying, you're done, stop fighting, and you put on a performance. This was the best you looked in a long time. Talk to me. What happened?
Oh, well, she's obviously immature and younger than me. But, yeah, she said that she was going to knock me out and that I needed to retire. What she doesn't understand is once you get into that level, of course I'm going to lose some fights because these girls are way better, you know? They get better. It gets harder. It gets competitive. But, so you shouldn't be judging by my record or nothing like that. And that's why she got her ass whooped.
Yeah, she got it. Now, are you still with the same boyfriend, the Marine?
Yes.
Wow. You guys are getting serious. When's the wedding?
We're already married.
Oh, you're already married. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I like that guy. Seemed like a nice guy. Now, are you still in South Carolina?
I'm in North Carolina. Is where he's stationed.
You know, Eric's from Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I just live here. I'm from the great country of Texas. Let's get that right.
Sorry. But now you went to Arizona for your training camp. Where did you live?
I stayed in the Airbnb for 2 months.
Wow.
In Scottsdale, yeah.
Wow. Now, all those cougars, there's a lot of hot cougars that like to prey on young half black athletes. Was it tempting? I know your wife's very hot, you know, Brazilian. Like,
you finna get me fucked up, dog. She's right
now, dog. Relax. Okay, good.
I only went to the grocery store, the gym, and the house. That's it. Nowhere in between.
Good. I was gonna say, good. Now, were you by yourself in the Airbnb?
No, I had Ryder Newman and Curtis Millender. They helped me with this training camp, and we all stayed in an apartment out there.
Where did you train at?
Flight Ready.
Oh, so you were with Cejudo's camp?
Yeah, with Eddie Cha, and Santino DeFranco.
Wow, that's good. Was it different getting a whole new look from people?
Yeah, you know, they kind of built this camp around me, you know, and you know, for what I needed. So that's what Curtis and Ryder were out there for. And, man, to be honest, you know, those guys had me, you know, you saw my work, you know, and it's a combination of everything that everybody did to help me get ready for that fight.
I was so happy for you. I was so happy for both of you guys, because I know, you won 3 of your last 4, but you said you were embarrassed the last fight. I didn't think you were embarrassed. I just thought that, a lot of football players, and obviously you're, the highest level football player, you guys just knock everyone out at first because you're just so explosive. But then, sometimes you get to that next level and it's just guys have been doing it their whole lives and you have to play catch up. And that's hard. It's really hard to do.
Well, you know, I think that's where the athleticism comes into play and the being coachable. And I think that's really just what I needed was a coach who had been there and done that, you know, coached and, you know, cornered in championship fights and championship fighters. And have won those fights to kind of get me over the edge and fill in the holes in what I was missing.
Got it. Now, Andy, how come you never age? What's going on? you've been in your 20s for the past, because you're 60. How do you stay in such good shape? You don't age. Do you even work? What's the secret? What do you do?
Asians just don't age. It's just, you know, it's Asians.
Yeah.
I fish that.
I'll be 39. Oh my gosh, I'll be 39 in 4 weeks.
You don't look 39. I mean, first of all, now you didn't come out to your normally. Eric, you gotta see this girl. She comes out when she fought in Japan. She was doing lap dances to the crowd. It was crazy. There was steam. It was
you trying to get that bonus money in one.
Boner money, dude. People were making it. People were making it rain. Now
it's
Lion.
A band.
Now there was a band. Now, Lion.
Somebody come behind you with a broom.
It was insane. I'm telling you, at least 90 women got pregnant that night because their husbands finally got hard and they're like, you know what? Now Lion didn't let you do that, right? Lion said no.
No, they encouraged me. They're like, so what kind of walkout are you gonna do? And I was like, well, for my Lion fight's debut, I broke my arm. I snapped it in half. And so I walked out to Bad to the Bone in the arm sling. And there was no dance because it's a little slow, but it was it was epic because it was my return.
Oh, got it. Now, do you like kickboxing better than MMA?
I love both. I love both, but I've always liked the way Lion fights were set up when Tiffany Van Zeus used to fight for them. And I remember watching it. I was like, oh, man, I want to do that one day. That was in my bucket list. That was one of my bucket lists. Not bare knuckle, no. But Muay Thai for Lion fights was one of my bucket lists. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, got it. Now, Eric, are you going to run it back or what?
Man, that's entirely up to that, to Darren and his camp. You know, I don't choose my opponents. I just, you know, whatever name comes across that contract, I sign and show up.
Dude, I was with Bill. We were watching the fight together. I was in Arizona. We did some weird gig outside where Bill got in trouble because it was can I tell a story, Bill? You mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So we do this gig and there's a playground next to it. There's 400 people. and a playground. He opens up. He's the first comic. He goes on there. He goes, "Oh wow, I can't believe they're letting me near this playground. I'm not allowed 30 feet away from kids." Like there's a whole. Then he
that's
goes.
A good way to get canceled.
That's
man.
A joke, by the way. Yeah. Not true story.
Then he goes, "Who here likes masturbation?" And everyone's like, "Whoa!" He goes, "Good, because I'm gonna jerk off on the whole crowd."
That's like, not what I said. You're ruining the timing.
Okay, what did you say?
I said a joke about. Hi guys, nice to meet you.
I'm sorry. Pleasure.
I said a joke about sex on weed, and I'm sure you guys smoke weed because I feel like every UFC fighter smokes weed now, right? Yeah, and I said, "You lose track of time," and I was like, "I was going hard with my girlfriend for like a long time," and I looked over. Turns out she wasn't there. I don't have a girlfriend. It was just good weed. Next thing I'm getting kicked out of Starbucks, and I go, "That's a masturbation joke. Are you guys cool with that? I need everyone's verbal consent. Can I have to talk about it?" They're like, "Yay." I go, "Great. Now can I masturbate in front of you? I need everyone's verbal consent." But when I said that, there was a Mormon couple walking by literally as I yelled out, "Can I masturbate in front of you guys?"
And they probably dug it the most.
So it was just like, "Hey, I'm going to jerk off in front of everyone's face."
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sure. Got it. By the way, so Bill, I know we were going to wait, but Andy didn't get the time right, which is fine, which I love her for the death. And then Eric didn't know what day it was. So we had to start the podcast a little early. Okay. But just so you know, this is my co-host, Bill Dawes, very funny comic. Also a brown belt under Henzo Gracie. Now, by the way, Eric, you almost had your first submission. You had the rear naked choke. What happened?
Talking about me?
Oh, yeah, you.
Player. I don't go for submissions. I don't even attempt them. I'm about these hands, player.
but you had it. You know what I'm talking about, right? You had his back, right?
Yeah, and I should have, you know. But I think I've had, you know, close to 40 amateur and professional fights, and I think I only have 3 submission wins between, you know, all 40 of them. So I'm not a big submission guy.
Do you just like punching guys in the face? That's why?
Man, I think it's the best way to do it, man.
But there was a couple times where you had the guy rocked, and then you went in for the takedown. Was your corner yelling, "No, fucking keep it standing"? Were they kind of?
Nah, I just felt like he was like a wounded animal, you know? I just felt like that, you know, once he got touched a few times, he would start swinging really hard. And we've seen it time and time again, guys get clipped by a hurt opponent. So, you know, I thought my chance would be better to get on top and then rain the punches down from there.
Oh man, you look so. Now, were you surprised though? Because, like, I mean, you made the NFL, you made the CFL, right? You almost made the NFL. You mm-hmm. were a national champion football player. When you were going for the double, he actually defended it pretty well. Were you surprised how strong he was?
Oh man, just in the beginning, you know, I was just trying to, you know, lay on him a little bit, get him tired, get his arms heavy because, you know, he's heavy handed. But, you know, if your arm's a little tired, he would start carrying him low and not be able to throw him as hard. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to wear him down a little bit. And then, man, but once I touched him, I was like, man, I'm going all in. Fuck it.
Now, Eric, I got a question for you, Eric. So you're a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, but you've never had submission. Do you just feel like that's not the pimp move? Do you feel like the pimp thing is to make someone get knocked out by a punch?
I'm trying to get paid, and you get paid by knocking cats out. And that's what I do, you know, so. I, you know, try and hit them over and over and over until the ref says stop or they go to sleep.
So, Bill, if you don't know Andy, because I know Andy wasn't our scheduled guest, she is a girl who she was in Rising, right? She's also now she won her fight in Lion Fight last week. She's a girl that's like she's been around. She's got a calendar out, a smoking hot calendar. I mean, you talk about you could see. I mean, Eric, your wife might not. I know she's next to you, but
she walked out of the room.
Oh, good. Right. Okay. Listen, if you ever need some a good calendar, and she's also like fun as hell. She's a fun girl. She's married to a Marine who I met, real nice guy. Also, your trainer, right? Isn't he in your corner?
He wasn't this time because he was instructing some students in Key West, but he was watching.
Okay. What was he? Think...
And he had the best head of hair in the UFC, in MMA. That's amazing.
I mean, to be honest, I was still pulling out some hair because when you have like corn rolls and you take them out, they're just like, oh, it's terrible. I'm going to lose all my hair by the age of 60.
No, Andy, Eric also was a military brat. He grew up on military bases in the Philippines, right?
Yeah. Philippines, Japan, and all over America.
Now, were your parents lesbians, Eric?
No.
Because it says their names were Gail. I looked it up. Gail and Kerry.
Yeah.
Who is Gail, the man?
Gail is a 6 foot, 300-pound black man. So, wow. And Kerry is a little white lady. So she's not good.
Oh, okay. Because I thought, did people ever ask you that? Because Gail sounds like it's a female name. No.
I guess it's I guess both names are unisex.
Yeah. Gail.
So I guess it's a spelling, right?
Yeah. Gayle. Gail. Right. Gail.
What are you trying to say then?
What?
What are you trying to say?
I'm all for it. That would make it even more interesting. If he was raised by lesbian military people, I thought you were raised by like lesbian drill sergeants or something. I was like, that would be the coolest story ever. So, all right. Well, listen, you're kicking ass. I'm so happy for you, Eric. Andy, when's your next fight?
We were talking. There are some Lion Fights is going to Kansas in April and May, but they want to send me international. So I love going outside the country. I love going out, traveling the world and doing what I love. So maybe Sicily, huh? So
wow.
Yeah, you know they go towards like Europe and France and.
Wow.
Yeah. I miss going to Asia. I miss Japan. I do. I miss China. I miss all that. But right now we just can't go. Right now they just don't like us.
Wait, what do you mean they don't like you? They don't like you because of COVID, or they don't like you as an American?
We just don't care. We're not wearing masks, you know. We're rebellious, you know. And they got rid of that pandemic. They didn't even have to go anything because they're already wearing masks from like day one. So they didn't even have to do what they did not have any lockdown or anything.
Well, they also in some places they locked people in like a room for 3 weeks. I know people that went to China, they weren't allowed out of they were just quarantined. In Korea, my friend went to train the Korean zombie, and Johnny Case, and they threw him in. They threw Johnny in like a hotel, and they said with an armed guy outside, you can't leave for 3 weeks. So it's a whole different kind of quarantine over there. But all right, this week we got Kevin Holland versus Derek Brunson. Some fight picks. Andy, who wins this fight?
I want to pick my boy Derek Brunson.
Why?
Just because he's my boy, I have to root for him.
But Eric, you?
I'm going with Brunson, too. I think he's got more ways to win. And since he's been working with Henry Hoof, he just looks like a completely different fighter. Calculated, patient. And, you know, he's also quite a punch. So I think he gets it done.
Now, I watched Kevin Holland train. He talks shit the entire time during training. Like, I mean, he was training with Chris Curtis, and he was just, like, going off on Curtis. He wouldn't stop talking. Have you ever fought a guy that, like, talks the whole time? Both of you. Andy, you? Or a woman?
Yeah, I just talked shit to my opponent while we were fighting. You could go back to the replay. She tried to clinch up with me to change it up, and I just said, your clinch sucks, and then I punched her. So it was great.
What about you, Eric?
Not really, because, man, you know, I'm usually stopping people. Even win or lose, you know, they feel me. So there's not really much room to talk.
I like
that. Did Machida say anything to you, Lyoto?
Hell nah. Yeah, the only thing he was doing was gasping for air.
All right. Now,
do you ever talk shit?
Not really. I got to be provoked to talk shit. Like, I just ain't going to walk in there and talk shit, but.
But you're all about the money. You're about the money, so isn't talking shit, doesn't that generate more money?
I mean, if they start chirping, you know, then I'll chirp back, you know. But other than that, you know, it's just business for me.
What about when you played Alabama football? How much shit talking goes on the football field?
Oh, my God. Listen, the locker room is the most hostile environment on planet Earth. There is no place that's more hostile than a locker room. So, yeah, you got to be able to talk shit and take it. At the same time. And then on the football field, it's even worse, you know, because, you know, people are emotionally invested in a win. And, you know, talk about your mama, talk about everything. So it's like, oh, shit.
Wow. Wow. All right. And now this week also, Gregor Gillespie's back. Gillespie was a national champion wrestler. He got knocked out by Kevin Lee fucking hardcore. He says that it was easier to lose by getting knocked out than by getting dominated. He'd rather lose that way. I guess maybe you could be like, well, I just got caught versus I lost every aspect. He's fighting Brad Riddell, who's on a five-fight winning streak, kickboxer from New Zealand. Who wins this fight? Andy.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know. I would go for the kickboxer.
Well, you don't think he's so upset about that. Eric Anders, who wins this one?
I think Gregor gets him to the ground, wears him out, and then finds a submission in the end.
Yeah. I think so, too. I think they kind of gave him a kickboxer as like a, you know what, you know, somebody who's not going to wrestle with him.
But he's not like a Kevin Lee-esque, like explosive athletic type. I'm not saying he's not good or nothing like that. Of course, he can win. But I just think that wrestling will be the dominant factor in this contest.
Now, your thoughts on Ben Askren versus Jake Paul. Andy, who wins this fight?
Oh, man. Shoot. I don't know. I'm hoping Ben Askren's going to just take him down like how he did in 1OC. Yeah.
But it's a boxing match, though.
It's a boxing match? Oh, okay. Yeah. Damn.
Take him down anyway.
It's Jake Paul.
Take him down.
Eric?
And I'm really, 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 really pulling for Ben Askren just because if he loses, he's going to let the entire MMA community down. But I think that, you know, Jake Paul actually knows how to box and is going to throw like 50 overhand rights. That seems like the only punch that he can throw. And we'll eventually catch Ben Askren.
Oh, man.
Now, on the undercard of this is Frank Mir boxing Antonio Tarver. I got to go with Tarver, even though he's almost 50 years old. He was a world champion. He beat Roy Jones.
Frank Mir, he's up there too.
Frank Mir's up there also, but he's not. It's like his first boxing match ever, and he's fighting Antonio Tarver. Eric Andrews, here.
He ain't got a chin.
Frank Mir
can't take a punch. Yeah, Frank Mir can't take a punch, I don't think so.
Andy?
I don't know. I didn't realize we switched to boxing. Now I'm just thinking.
All right. Well, also got announced, Lamar Odom is boxing Aaron Carter.
That's ridiculous.
I swear they're going to get paid in crack or something, but this is really happening. Who wins? I got to go with Lamar Odom. He's the athlete, right?
Yeah, and he's like 8 feet tall. So if anything, he can learn how to throw a jab. And, you know, I don't know how big Aaron Carter is, but he's not. You know, I think Lamar Odom is like 7 feet tall for real, close to it.
Well, Aaron Carter, they say he's 6 feet, but that's like Hollywood 6 feet, which means you're really 5'8".
It's over with. He's going to get jabbed to sleep. How is he going to win? He's going to have to, like, throw, I don't know.
Eric, you got to watch the training video of Aaron Carter. He's wearing, like, Lululemon yoga pants, like white yoga pants. He's, like, skinny fat with his tattoos. It's
I mean, for him.
what the technique look like though?
I mean, I could get not over cool. his like love handles hanging over his yoga pants.
Now on the undercard of Ben Askren, Jake Paul, they're having Justin Bieber, Snoop Dogg, Doja Cat, and Diplo all perform.
Oh, that's dope. So it's a concert with boxing matches in between acts. Got it.
Now, the guy in charge says that the entertainment portion is going to be produced by Emmy winner Burt Marcus, who describes the plan for the show to be unlike anything anyone's ever seen. Think Stranger Things meets Tarantino. Bill, you're an actor. You're a Broadway star.
I think they should have Cardi B perform. Then the mat would be all slick, and everyone would like trip over themselves during the fight. That'd been awesome.
No, Andy, you've been in some bisexual relationships. Is it hard for your husband? Does he ever worry that you're going to go back to the girls?
If it's Cardi B, I'm just kidding.
All right, thanks. Okay.
That's all you got to say? Come on. We're three men. You said you're bisexual. We need more information.
You would smash Cardi B, we know. I think everybody here wants to, so it's okay.
If you smash Cardi B, you smash 10,000 other people based on who she smashed. So it's sort of like, I think you've taken out, like, you know, Rhode Island at that point. So, all right. Well, and then finally, Stephen Thompson says that he deserves a title shot more than Leon Edwards. I got to agree with that. I don't think Leon deserves it. You poke a guy in the eye and it goes to a no contest, that does not get you a title shot. Eric's doing his own podcast right now. So I would say Stephen Thompson deserves it more than, I mean, Steve beat Jeff Neal. I didn't think it was going to be Jeff Neal. Do you think that Leon deserves a title shot based on what happened, Eric?
Nah, I don't. You know, he's, especially since he's the one who committed the foul. So, you know, I think that he needs to either run it back with Muhammad or find another opponent, which seems to be impossible for him at this moment. So, you know, I think that Steven deserves it over him just because he's been more active, especially over the last year or so.
Now, do you think Masvidal's got can beat Usman?
He's got a puncher's chance. You know, that guy's been around for a long time, super skilled. But, man, I think that this fight will look a lot like they did the first time. He'll just be in a little bit better shape.
Andy, your thoughts? And by the way, are you a teacher right now? I feel like I'm in a porno and a guy's going to come out right now.
Sharpie?
Like, what is going on?
Calendars.
Oh, you're signing. I feel like this is like MILF or something. And like the student's going to come and be on your desk. And then no. Me and Bill are going to watch Eric go to work. Okay, so what were you saying?
About Stephen Thompson, that he agrees that he needs to get the title shot before the other. You're naming people from the Carolinas, so I'm going to say Stephen Thompson and Derek Brunson. And then the other match, I do not know those two guys, so I don't know.
Right. Now, were you the only Vietnamese girl in South Carolina growing up?
Kind of, except for my frammery.
Adam, be very careful about Asian jokes right now. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm not making any Asian jokes right now.
He always does it live when I'm in the crowd.
Of course. She's. I saw her. I was walking around Key West and I randomly saw her and her husband. Just because I guess he's a military. Yeah, it was so crazy. I just randomly walked into them. And then Andy's. Dude, I've been a fan of yours forever. So, listen, both of you guys, I took up way too much of your time. Eric, thank you for always being so cool. I hope stop kneeing people in the face. All right. But
when they're up, when they're down, anyways. When it's up,
you're the man. And Andy Nguyen, congrats on the win. And hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, brother.
Bye bye, guys.
What's up, people? Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. How cool is that? They got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. That's right. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right. Okay. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online. Your online sports book experts. Check them out.
You guys. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, it's all good, brother. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good, man. I missed everything.
No, it was like the time, you know, I always know, even if I say PST, it means nothing. Because every time I go PST to the fighters, which means like 12 to 1. And then like at 9 o'clock, I would say one out of every three fighters goes, "What am I on?" I'm like, "In 3 hours." They go, "Oh shit." Like, so, cause a lot of them are on the East Coast and yada, yada, yada. And that's kind of what happened this week.
Okay.
Meanwhile, so I'm like moving, right? I'm moving my place and, you know, I have a wrestling room in my garage because, you know, my friend who I got the job coaching wrestling got fired for threatening to kill a parent. And then he was like, "I'm taking my mats back." And I had enough room in my garage. So we had the whole team who was pissed off he got fired, buddy Aldo, come and put the mats in, right? I don't know if you guys told the whole story of this. So I started this wrestling program 13 years ago, I'm on Craigslist and they're like hiring a wrestling coach. So I'm looking for a job. I'm like, I know, right? So I go down to there and they're like, what do you know about the adult intergender wrestling league? And I'm like, nothing. They're like, you're hired. I guess the guy before me was like, he got the job, but he's like, hey, I'm going to use the mats for at nighttime in the school. Is that cool? And they said, sure. Then they, for like the league, then they Googled it and it's like the naked transgender wrestling, and he was going to use it. So I knew nothing about it, right? So, like, I basically got hired just for not knowing anything about this league. So, and then they didn't know what, like, so my first day, no one knows anything about wrestling. There's, the walls are not even close to padded, right? Kids are running headfirst into the wall. And I'm like, I told them, like, I can't coach here unless you guys fucking put the walls up, you know, like put pads on the wall. So now it's like, it's been 14 years and I've been coaching and we won the league a couple times and I love it. We had a kid get into Purdue Division I. I mean, but the kids all wanted to wrestle in high school. A lot of them did. And I would notice that like there was no high school program because it's a charter school and it feeds into this other school. And you see these kids that like, there's like glimpse of hope and their whole life changes around. And then you see them kind of go back to where they were before. They don't have wrestling because wrestling is a sport that like can really change your lives. Absolutely. Also, it's one of those sports where like, you know, parents like, my kids failed at every other sport. Please help them. Like, there's no cuts. You know,
sometimes wrestling is one of those sports. Like, you can with work ethic, you can always get good.
Right, and a lot of times, like the kid's been coddled and babied, and like is not tough at all. And the father's like, please save my kid from being a complete, you know, pansy. For I don't know if you can say pansy anymore, but I'm just gonna say pansy, right? So anyway,
you're quoting the dad, so you can say it.
Right. Yeah, you're right. So then I had to lobby to get this high school team coach. Like I had to lobby, right? Like I had to like go there and be like. So they finally put a rest, like after like 5 years of me begging the superintendent of the school, like, okay, we'll have a high school team. So the first coach comes in, he's great. His name is Randy. He's 27 years old, knows every move in the book. One day he has a headache. He dies of brain cancer. Like just fucking, like 3 months later, he's dead. Like nicest guy. So then they didn't have a coach. So I had an assistant coach that had gotten banned from New Jersey coaching, but I didn't know why. But
the whole state of New Jersey?
The whole state. But he was a good coach, but he just screamed really loud. Like, he was one of those guys that, like, there's 8 mats, you know, at a tournament, and you're the one guy. So as my coach, I had to be like, hey, man, like, you know, stop yelling because we can't be yelling 2 different things. Anyway, I got him the job as the head coach of like, the school, and I guess he was screaming too loud. People were complaining. And then he was the JV woman softball coach and like threw a baseball bat because he was angry and it hit a girl in the leg. So he got fired from coaching. So then they brought in my friend. I had to get a new coach. I had to get my friend Aldo. Aldo was like one of my best friends, but he's like an ex Chippendale slash maybe a leg breaker at one point in his life slash comedian. And beat Kenny Monday back in like the 70s, but he's like an old school coach. Like he would tell the kids like, you know, like quit being pussies. Like I'm like, you can't call kids pussies anymore, Aldo. Yeah. You know, like, you know, women's cheerleading's next door. I'm like, you know, we can't like sort of like, you know, old school coach, right? So like he took the van one time and there was no parking. So he just parked at a handicap spot and it was like $3,000 tickets later and he didn't want to pay it. You know, like just like he's just that guy, right?
Yeah.
So I guess one of the kids loses in a wrestle off, but it's so his father got mad and they wanted to do a rematch, but Aldo didn't want to do it. So the father took the kid and had his own doing his own program. So him and the father got into it like at a tournament and the father says something, he goes, I'll fucking kill you. Aldo said, the father videotaped him saying this. So he got fired. So now they're on their like third coach in 3 years. But anyway, Aldo got fired. So then he's like, I'm taking my mats back. So he put the mats in my garage. So I've been coaching out of my garage, long story short. Well, now we're moving. And my wife's like, hey, I have people coming to get the mats off the garage, right? I'm like, great, but it's going to take like, it took 25 kids to put them in there, you know?
And you had them drilled into the floor too, right?
Drilled into the walls.
Yeah.
So cut to one Mexican dude shows up and he's like, I'm here to get the wrestling mats. So
in fairness, what Mexican dude can usually do that? You know what I mean?
Me and him spent all fucking day doing it, right? So I spent all day moving the mats, right? And like, you know, he's like, I'm like, how much do I owe you at like the end? And he's like, well, you helped me, so just give me half. I'm not going to give the guy half. It was a hell job. You know, it's like, give the guy everything. I go, how do I pay you? He goes, Venmo. I go, what's your name? Tells me his name. I go, this is it. He goes, yeah. So I sent it to the wrong person. He goes, wait. He told me, I'm going, he goes, that's not me. I go, you just told me to send it. He goes, oh, blah, blah, blah. So now the guy starts like crying, right?
Oh,
so
now,
so now I have to like ask the guy on Venmo, hey man, I accidentally sent you the wrong, can you please send me the money back? And it's like $200 or something, right?
Yeah.
But then every time I press send, I would pay the guy again. So, I pay some fucking dude $800 2 days ago, right? And I'm just like, oh my God. The guy sent it all back. So,
yeah.
And I'm like, listen, I owe you comedy club tickets and I'll buy you drinks and like, I you know, take my kid, my wife. Like, I'm like giving the guy everything. But, and then the guy was like, the Mexican dude was like, just pay me half. I gave him a check and I'm like, just take all of it. And so that was okay. So anyway.
I think that happens a lot with people. I've done that before. You pay people the wrong person. If someone takes it, are there any way you can get, it back other than send Aldo over to break their legs?
No, that's it. I mean, that's it. Anyway, luckily I picked the right guy who understood that I'm like a boomer and don't know technology. So that was one gig. And then me and you drove, 6 hours to and from. That was a great trip, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
We talked about so much stuff. I was writing down some funny things I told you. So, you know, Scott Baio, who's like a good friend of mine, who fucking, I love Scott Baio. You know, I understand a lot of people don't like him politically. So he's getting into it with Patton Oswalt on Twitter. And they're going back and forth. Patton started it, but he made a little joke. And then Scott takes the bait every time and doesn't realize these are comedians. You're not going to win.
Yes.
Everyone's just bailing, like shitting on Scott Baio. So I put like, hey, listen, I may not agree with politically Scott Baio, everything he says, but I know that the guy has, I personally seen him raise like hundreds of thousands of dollars for people that were sick. And I've seen and had a charity because his kid was sick. It was a false diagnosis, but they still raise money for kids who actually have that and they thank him. So I know that's the kind of person I know. So that's pretty damn cool, right? I think that's
Adam. Pretty cool. Dude. You can't defend someone on the wrong side. You can't do it. It's a cancel culture turducken.
Dude, somebody writes, well, Jeffrey Dahmer took people out for dinner before he ate them. I'm like this is that Jeffrey Dahmer bought him a drink before he ate them. Like this is where we go every time. Like we go right to there. Like
Epstein flew him on a private jet before he raped him. Yeah.
Somebody wrote like Hitler was nice to dogs. Like that's what like I'm like that's so Scott Baio is Dahmer and Hitler because he doesn't agree with you.
Of course.
Like of that's course. I mean, what do you even say to that? Like how do you say that? Anyway.
You just zip your lips. I mean, even everything going on right now, I don't even want to talk about what's going on right now, but everyone's like, another reason why white people suck the worst. And it's just like, you just got to be like, yep, we suck the worst and not say a goddamn word.
So, like I talked about last week, my boarding school memories, like hide memories, right?
Yeah.
So I wrote, like, I remember being in the dorm and kids would do atomic sit-ups where they go, I bet you can't do a atomic sit-up. And then, so one kid would lie down, do a sit-up. The other kid would take a towel, put it over his head. And then another kid would come out of nowhere, drop his pants so the kid's face would go into someone's ass, right? And then people would laugh, blah, blah. Well, they did it to a kid, and he ran away from school. And then they had to, then the two kids that did it had to tell the dean and demonstrate what an atomic sit-up was to the dean, right? So I wrote, that's a ridiculous story. Yeah. So I put that up, and someone writes, oh, sexual assault is funny. And I'm like...
I mean, it is sexual. In their defense, it is sexual assault, but it's got a cute name. So it's a tough one.
But it's like, these are 13-year-olds, 14-year-old kids playing pranks on each other. Like, I mean.
You know, when I was in high school, there was something called lotioning on my football team. That's when they would take a kid and pin him down, take his pants off, and get a bottle of cocoa butter and squeeze it into his butthole. And that was like how you'd haze people on the football. I never got lotioned, by the way. Now, that was just like a thing. But looking back now, you're like, Jesus Christ, that's pretty much like anal rape.
Yeah, no, that, it is. But, right, like there was another time the kid had a taser. One kid, this kid Roland, who was insane, he got a taser. And another kid who was my roommate, who was like a full on drunk at like 15, and he was sleeping. And the guy put the taser and he tased his balls and his cock while he was sleeping. And the guy said he went hard for like a week. Like that was what he like.
He was hard for a week.
Yeah, that's
the guy who tased them, or the guy who got tased.
The guy who got tased was hard for a week, right?
Wow, that's good to know.
So I wanted to post that in my ridiculous, but I'm like, no, forget that one. That really is. I don't know. Yeah. Look, it just does seem, and these are not good examples, but it does seem like everybody, like you ever see like that one person at the, either in class or at the club or at the party, who's just like miserable in the corner, doesn't laugh at anything, doesn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. Everything sucks. It seems like that person is now running comedy.
That person's definitely on Twitter.
That person's running what everyone else is allowed to talk about. Like, we all have to cater. It used to be like, fuck that person. Like, that would be like, I don't give a fuck, he says. Like, I'm having fun. Now it's like, it's the hall monitor that like is running like the social media. We're like, when did this person get the most power? When did we elect the hall monitor to be the president of social media?
Do you think it changed when Trump got elected? Do you think that's when it changed, or was it happening before then?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, for example, even today, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, so I'm completely ignorant on what this person said. But I guess this black girl who was the editor of Teen Vogue got fired for racist comments that she made in her teenagers on Twitter. When she was a teenager on Twitter. She's 27 now, so it was 10 years ago. Look, there was no Twitter around when I was in high school, okay? Everyone that, like, is over 30 or 35 should realize that, like, we're so quick to judge, but we didn't have Twitter. So think about like how many more people would be fired right now if we had access to Twitter. But so if someone's a teenager, unless they're like putting up like schwa stickers or crosses or news, something like that insanely where you're like, okay, if somebody makes stupid comments, I tend to say, well, they were a teenager and they shouldn't have their life ruined. When you are a teenager, you're not thinking, oh, one day I'm going to get a job and this is going to come back to bite me in the ass. You're thinking like about like that moment that's happening at that time. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to cut the person some slack, but you know, I don't know exactly what the person said. So I'm speaking out of whatever, you know.
Well, the way it is now, by the way, there was a girl who was, I think she was 16, and she was singing a rap song that had the N-word in it. So she just was singing the raps and made a video. When she applied to college, like a year and a half later, 2 years later, she couldn't get in because of that video got released. Like because basically what happens is people will just look for it. They'll just dredge through everything you've ever done and try to find the thing to get you fired if you have any success.
That's crazy. I mean, it's nuts. It's just like the one place it doesn't happen is like sports right now. Maybe there's so much money where like someone's not like, well, that basket doesn't count. Because 11 years ago, you made a tweet. So even though you won the game, you really lost because.
Yeah. Like, and also, can rappers get canceled? Could Cardi B literally say anything that could get her canceled or do anything?
I mean, she admitted to drugging people and robbing them. Yeah. When she gave them at a strip club. Like, she admitted to that. And then she said she was kidding or something. But if like, I don't know, somebody said, yeah, I used to drug girls and rape them. Or I used to drug them and rob them. But I don't know if I would get album of the year. I just don't think that there's a different standard. I don't understand why that's being glossed over. I think there's too much money to be made right now with her. I feel like once that well dries up, like with R. Kelly or something, then people are like, wait a minute, let's look into your past. It feels like when you're generating money for people, they're quick to look the other way.
Bing, 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 bing. I say that all the time with Harvey Weinstein. I mean, Harvey Weinstein was always a piece of shit and everyone knew it. I mean, I was in graduate school in NYU and I knew about that. And I always say that if Harvey Weinstein's last film was Pulp Fiction instead of Tulip Fever, this probably never would have happened.
It sucks. It's just terrible. It's fucking terrible. All right, let's talk about some fights that's going on. Yeah. So, or at least some MMA stuff. So Monster Energy drama. All right. So Dominic Cruz basically after his last fight called out Hans Mollenkamp, who is, I'm trying to find as much as possible. So I guess Monster hired this guy to be like the guy that like gets fighters to come and join Monster and puts money in their pocket. Well, he makes these videos, which I always thought were kind of lame. I'm not like, I'm a fan of Jackass, but if you're going to do a prank, like, make it a fucking cool prank. Like kicking a cup of coffee out of someone's hand is just like, and then going, and then laughing about it. It's just not really my idea of like a fun prank. I never laughed at that. I'd be annoyed being the guy kicking it. I'd be the guy drinking coffee, the person next to it. I'm just not that guy. Yeah. But Hans thinks it's hilarious and people are like commenting it. Well, Dominic is not the guy. Dominic is a guy that tells you exactly how he feels, which I love Dominic. Dominic's a guy, if he doesn't like you, he'll say, I don't like you. And
yeah.
And he'll tell you, you suck if you suck. And if he likes you, he'll tell you he likes you. That's what I always love about Dominic, is he'll tell you exactly how he feels. Very rare in this day and age. So he calls out Hans, Mollenkamp, and then all of a sudden Bisbing said that, like, Hans called Bisbing and goes, hey, man, me and you are good friends. And Bisbing's like, no, we're not good friends. We're acquaintances, which is okay. And then Bisbing, I guess, got dropped by Monster. But then Rampage stuck up for him. He stuck up for him. So now there's a whole thing about this guy. Listen, if this guy is making fighters lose, I guess the thing is he's making them think like, hey, you have to roll with Hans and pretend he beats you. And then you'll get money. You'll get money from Monster. If that's happening.
Yeah. That is a problem. But has that happened? I mean, has that been that, like, you're going to lose your sponsorship if you don't do this shit? Has that actually happened?
That's the word on the street, is that you have to go and make it seem like he's beating you in sparring, and then you get the sponsor.
Oh, I thought it was like if you don't take a selfie with me, you'll lose your. I think that's
going on too. This is all allegations, but I think that there's all kinds of like. You get stuck in a contract with some of these people. They can't get out of the contract. It's all kinds of things. I mean, this is what happens when people get power. And like, I see it as a comic. How many times have we seen as the comic, the booker that comes into a comedy club? First day you love him, second day you love him. Then all of a sudden, this swarm of comedians start kissing the guy's ass and doing drugs with him and buying him. Before you know it, the guy's like a dictator. And I mean, I've been sexually harassed. But when I first started doing comedy in my early 20s, there was a guy that would go, how important is your comedy? And then like brush up against me. Yeah. Every time he would pass me in the hall, he would put his hands on my hips and then like brush up. Or another guy, I was like, how do I get spots? He's like, oh, he goes, you got to play with my balls. Like I actually ran into a guy recently. I did a Zoom show. And one of the guys that used to do that to me was on the Zoom show. Now he's out of the shit. And I didn't know that. The guy was like, hey, man, will you do this charity thing? And I'm like, sure. And that fucking guy comes up and he's like, hi, Adam. And I felt like saying, motherfucker, you used to give me the check spot for 3 minutes every time. You would fucking sexually harass me. I was in my early 20s. Looking back, I probably should have fucking said something. Or there was no one to tell either.
Of course.
That was like you couldn't. And maybe it's different with guys also. I feel like it was a bad situation. Look, I'm not saying I was necessarily Me Too'd. I didn't like blow anybody or have to do that. But it was in today's standards, if what happened to me happened to female comics, comics would brush their fucking cock against a girl's ass all the time and go, how important is your comedy? Forget about it, you know? And rightfully so.
Yeah. I mean, I came up to New York theater, so, you know. And I used to rollerblade in a tank top. So trust me, I was like, the term was gay bait. And they were, you know, they were aggressive. But as a guy, you just don't feel, you never feel in danger. Or like, you aren't going to feel in danger. I don't feel in danger. So maybe it's a little bit different that way. Like not feeling in danger. You just kind of feel like, what are you doing?
I didn't feel in danger, sucked. But a part of me did feel like demasculated or emasculated. Yeah. Is that what the word?
Yeah, emasculated, yeah.
You know, I definitely felt like I was like, you know, fuck, man. It was definitely not a good feeling. It was an awful feeling. And then looking, and now even telling it, I'm worrying about the comments like, you fucking bitch. How do you let a guy do that to you? You know, like even, and now this is 20 years later. And so now I'm even more like thinking like, oh, how can, so anyway, but is Hans doing that to people? No. Okay. And maybe these guys, it seems like Dominic is the guy, but you know what? Cruz, I'm good for Cruz. I mean, good for him. Okay.
One thing he said, he goes, I'm not going to let someone use me for my clout. That's what people do. I mean, that's the whole point of social media, right? Is you use people for their clout. No one's going to take a picture with like the person who works at CBS and has four followers. You go and you get the picture taken with like the big star and just be like, look how I'm casually hanging out with Justin Bieber right now.
Yeah. I mean, It's tough, but I like it. I like it. Kelvin Gastelum has stepped in, and he was fighting Robert Whittaker. It really depends on how fat Gastelum got, because I see him sometimes. There's a guy, you know, I don't know. You always think.
Give him so much shit on Twitter, man. You fucking are after.
He asked me. He goes, when are you going to make fun of me? And I ran into him, and I'm like, because he's like, I consider him a good friend. We were at the Tyson Ranch together watching Tyson fight. And I was like, and I ran to him and he was with his girlfriend. I was with my wife. And he's like, you always give me shit. I'm like, you asked me to. He goes, once.
That's great.
But his mom and sister comes to my show. He's the nicest. You talk about a guy that is just not affected by fame. And he is the nicest person you will ever meet. He is such a good guy, Kelvin. Once he decides, he's like a pit bull that once he decides he's your friend, he's like, all he wants to do is like cuddle. But you know, he would murder you if he wanted to. But he's like, no, you're my guy. I got nothing but love for Kelvin. I had to actually, the time that he missed weight against Donald Cerrone at Madison Square Garden, everyone was mad at him. And I had to call him from a blocked number so he would answer. And then he said I was like one of three people that talked to him.
You know? Wow.
But he's so good. But the same time, you're like, man, what if he was at 170? Like, if he was at 170?
But he's so comfortable at middleweight. I don't understand why he doesn't just say, okay, let me just stay at middleweight and quit trying to get down.
Well, he does, but at the same time, you're like, there's a huge size difference. I mean, you see it even with the Weidman. Like, you just saw Chris Weidman was just so much bigger than him. And then Marvin Vettori is going to be much bigger than him. But he could win. He hits so fucking hard, and he's so good at everything. Short notice fight. I mean, who knows? It just depends on how much weight he has to lose is what it is.
Has he lost weight at middleweight yet? With Darren Till, was that middleweight and he lost weight?
No, he fought Darren Till at middleweight. He lost at middleweight to Darren Till.
But did he make weight?
Yeah, he's never missed weight at 185.
Okay.
He's come close. I mean, he's come in. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. He's such
Have
a
– Have you asked him?
Dude, I went to his house one time. I drove to Towson, Orange County. There was like 9 people living there. But he was the only one that actually – there was a guy like downstairs. There was a barber shop. Somebody was just cutting people's hairs, like a fucking, like, it's just, he's just that dude that lets everybody just stay with him. Like, he's just that guy.
He smokes weed too. That's what it is. He smokes weed. He gets munchies.
Yeah, he smokes weed. He's Mexican. He's probably like, he was the baby of the family. So his mom made him so much food. You know, he grew up like just eating unhealthy food, but he's so damn talented. He's just a talent. And he's a gamer. I think he was like he doesn't use his wrestling that much, but he won the states. He won the states in Arizona, I think as like a 5th seed or a 7th seed. And, you know, he steps up. He knocked out Bisping. He's knocked people. But it's just, I mean, Mike Dolce says he could be at 55. I mean, he won the ultimate. He was the last pick of the Ultimate Fighter. Remember, he beat Uriah Hall in the finals.
Yeah.
But he's such a funny dude. He's such a good dude. Like, you would not know that he was, like, number 2 ranked guy in the UFC.
He used to be
a bail bondsman. He was a fucking because he went to college for a year. He missed his mom, so he dropped out.
Aww.
Like who drops out of college because they missed their mom? Like,
and if you give him shit about it, he'll knock you the fuck out.
Yeah, a whole laugh about it. Like, he's just he's just a good dude. But yeah, I'm fucking. So a guy named Ty Tavusa, he's the guy I think that wears the diaper, I believe. He's fighting a guy who's taking on Harry Hunsucker, who's 7-3, who either knocks you out or gets knocked out. They're smart. They get these guys that, like, you know, maybe don't deserve to be in the UFC, but they know it's going to be a knockout or get knocked out. They're like, fuck it. You know, people will want to watch this. I don't know. We're stalling because I don't know where Jin Yu Fry is. You know,
that's the whole reason I'm here, is I want to meet Jin Yu Fry.
I'm gonna hit her up on Instagram. You know, she's just, you know, I stay up all night learning about her, and then this girl has like a master's degree. She's
nuclear science, right?
Yeah, she's beyond smart. But you know what sucks is like when you hit somebody up and then you it says not, it doesn't say red. Are so funny. We'll do. All right, so here we go. Junior Fry doesn't say, can you come on now? All right. Can you come on now? She's half Korean. You are so funny. You're the best. So, you're the best. So, what's the name? Because I'm really funny, by the way. Andy the Crasian. So Justin Bieber, we got Gastelum. We'll talk about that. We're waiting
But you mentioned something. You mentioned something about having a like, what would your name be?
Yeah.
What would your name be if you were a fighter? What would your nickname?
My nickname. That's true. Fucking tenacious or something, or doesn't know when to quit, or what would yours be?
I don't know, something about like country strong.
I like funny ones though, like the librarian.
Yeah, you know what'd be great is you had like a name that was like so like Giggles, like Bill Giggles Dawes, because then people are like, oh, I got beat up by Bill Giggles Dawes.
But like, there's a guy named Jeremy. Jordan Johnson, and his name is Big Swingin' Johnson.
That's great.
I think Adam Hunter, like if I was Adam Milf Hunter, just something where you like they say something and then they're like, you know, or like
they have to say it.
The STD kid or something that's like you're just like, or I hate my life or depression or something like seasonal depression.
Adam Seasonal Affective Disorder Hunter.
So why did you become a comic, Bill?
You know, I was an actor and I just hated the fact that I was doing all these plays with playwrights who treated me like garbage because I was nothing but like a vehicle for their brilliant words. That's how it is particularly when you go to school for acting, you get out and you're in New York and you have a playwright and they're sitting there with their glasses, with their legs crossed, all pretentious, and everything they say, you go, hey, I think this might be better if I change this word. They're like, you're an actor. And after like years of that, man, I was just like, fuck this. Like 6-7 years out of school, I was just like, you know what? I'm done with that shit. So yeah. So then I became a comic. I was like, you know, if it's shitty, at least I die my own sword. You know what I mean? At least if the writing is bad, I don't have to go, oh, I'm doing this shitty play at the Soho Theater rep downtown. I just go like, yeah. Oh yeah, I told a dumb dick joke.
Yeah. You know? As an actor, I feel like sometimes you're only as good as your team, you know? Or the play you're in, or the like your co-stars, where that's kind of like why I got into comedy too. I mean, I knew if I had something where I had more control over it and I could work your ass off. I mean, you can work your ass off as an actor and then you could be that annoying guy doing the monologue to everybody and everybody wants to like run from you when they see you. And all you want to do is talk about acting and people are just like,
And that's another thing too, is you could have a great playwright, a great play, a great director, and just like a shitty costume designer, and it'll ruin the whole fucking experience. Or like a shitty co-star. Just one bad element in a play, and the whole fucking same thing with like, you know, you shot Pinned. I mean, everything was kind of, you know, seemed like it worked out, but like you have one bad element, like one person.
There was one actor that like completely couldn't get their lines. And I had to act with them, and I had to tell them their lines. Then they had to do their lines, and I'd do my lines back. So I'm like, I gotta know your lines too, you know, because I'm like, fuck, you know.
I saw you coach those little kids, and some of them obviously never acted before. They're like 10 years old or something like that. And you're like, okay, do it this way, and they would do it the exact same way every time. Like, okay, great, that was almost there. Now do it again. They do it the exact same way. I mean,
And I'm like acting and coaching and producing. 100%. But I actually became a comic. Originally because, you know, I got sued for $20 million in college, right? Is that a story?
No.
This will buy some time and see if Jin Yu Fry ever comes. So when I was in college, you know, I wrestled in college and I was just, I was at Binghamton. I only got into Binghamton. It's a great school because of my wrestling. Like I had like the lowest SATs in the entire school. except for maybe one kid on my team had worse than me. So, but every Thursday night we have our matches on Friday, or we'd weigh in on Friday. So Thursday night, I'd be stuck there cutting weight, and they'd have this like talk show, like public access. they tried to talk about like serious issues at the time. And I would just call in and they'd be like talking about like race relations. And I'd be like, yeah, just like the time Devane did that. And like, who? I'm like, Devane and my dick. And I'd hang up the phone and I'd like fucking completely like fucking bogart their show and laugh, you know, to myself and to like three people in my dorm. So then I'm like, you know, after I quit wrestling, I'm like, I gotta do something with my life. I'm gonna be a loser. Maybe I'll have my own talk show. I'll be a talk show host. So I went down to the studio and pretended to like learn this thing. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I'll call it D's Nuts. And they gave me Monday nights for 4 hours, a 4-hour show. And I had like a bunch of people on the wrestling team as a panel, some like local Budweiser model girl, like, and my other friend. So I jump in front of the thing and I'm like, hey, welcome to D's Nuts, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a great show. We have this, that, that. We'll talk about anything you want. And then I had a guy writing stuff at the bottom of the screen, right? Like, so first question in, like, are you Vanilla Ice or Corey Haim? Or now everyone's pranking me. Like the same thing I was doing to them.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, what's wrong with your ear? You have cauliflower face. Like just what? And I'm like, fuck you. I'm like 17 at the time. I'm like, I don't know how to really defend myself. But I'm having fun. It's like funny, but I'm bald because they shaved my head for wrestling. That was like initiation, which was another. So then this girl calls up. And she's like, my name is Hannah, and you always sweat me at the gym. You always check me out. Now, I was going to the gym, and I was wearing 2 rubber suits at the time to lose weight. I wasn't sweating. I was sweating. I was sweating myself, like losing 9 pounds. But I kind of knew who she was, but I'm like, okay. She's like, you check me out. I'm like, all right, well, what does your ass look like? And I'm playing along. So then the whole, like, it's all in every dorm now is glued to this show, right? And people are calling in to like, well, you know, Hannah, you know, what is it? You know, Hannah stole my jeans from the laundry. And some guy's like, Hannah, I came over your house, went drunk, your dorm room, and you wouldn't let me touch your tits. It's because you have big pepperoni nipples. Just like, he's like, my name is Seth. And then she calls back in. That guy Seth is a fat fuck. Now it's like Jerry Springer, right? I don't know. I'm a freshman. I've been in school for a month. I don't know who any of these people are, right? But I'm like kind of happy that they're not making fun of me. So then Hannah decides to come down and defend herself while we're live on the air. So she comes into the downstairs, like by the cafeteria where the studio was, Binghamton Television. She goes, this guy Seth is a fat fuck and he needs to get his ass to the gym and fuck him and he's a loser. And she sits down to take calls. Every call now is like, can I park my car up your snatch? And then she was like this girl from Cardozo, Queens, right? She was wearing a Jewish star. And one girl was like, take that Jewish star and stick it up your ass. Like, and then,
whoa.
And then the guy in the bottom was writing on the bottom of the screen, like Hannah doesn't like, it's not a whore. She just likes sex. So this like old Marine that's like 40 is writing these like, so then, she's getting killed, right? So then she goes back to her dorm and people are chanting her name and some people are throwing water balloons at her. Then that guy, Seth, came on the air and he's all drunk. He was captain of the soccer team and he's like, fuck Hannah, blah, blah. And then, so lo and behold, like that was the first show, right? And the last show. They canceled the shows after that, right? Like I'm the most famous person on campus. I'm walking out, people are pointing to me like, that's the guy from D's Nuts, right? She sues the school for $20 million, right? She sues me for $20 million, and she sues Seth for $20 million. A $60 million lawsuit, right? I got sued for negligence. I got sued for, like, being I'm Jewish, and I'm anti-Semite because I laughed when the girl said, stick to Jewish. But I was laughing like 9 things the girl said before that. I didn't even hear that, you know? So it goes to the Supreme Court of Brooklyn, right?
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
Her parents must have been lawyers or something. How did she even
My parents were lawyers. Okay. My dad was like, you go to school for 3 months, you come back with a fucking 20-minute lawsuit. Like, can't you just go to class like everyone else, right? they threw it out of court. The fact that like they had to watch this for 4 hours, I couldn't believe the Supreme Court had to watch this show for 4 hours because they had to break down the whole show and say that she was the one that like instigated it and that I took a lot of shit from everybody. They were making fun of me as well. Like it was all in the court case, right? And I was covered by the school insurance, like thankfully, and I didn't have to get a lawyer, but I couldn't say anything about it. So then I'm like, man, now I'm going to be known as the guy from D's Nuts. Like that's going to be my legacy in school. Like not exactly. Head school wants to beat me up. So I joined a fraternity because I needed friends quickly.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this sucks. This is what we're paying for friends. I don't want to pledge, but the parties were cool. So then there was a girl on this guy was giving auditions for the black dance team in my school, like it's called Tatiana. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be black. She's like, no. So I tried out as like a joke and I made the team. I was like the affirmative action part of the, like, and I was like one of five guys tried out, but like it was like 25 hot girls and me. I was the only white person. But I realized that I got out of pledging by going to black dance practice. So that year I won most dedicated member of the black dance team.
That's great.
But that was my freshman year in college.
Crazy. That's so funny. What was the name of your dance company again?
The Black Dance Repertoire.
It was literally called the Black Dance Repertoire.
Yeah.
I was in a dance company at Princeton called Body Hype.
Really? Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Same thing. It was like, it was like five guys, six, seven guys maybe, and like 12 ex-ballerinas who were like super hot.
That's pretty, it was fun because like they would come to the parties, like our frat parties, with me and like seven black dudes just breaking it down like in sync, and they'd be like, how the fuck
that's cool shit, man.
That was pretty cool. All right, so let's talk some more fights. Brunson versus Holland. Who do you think is going to win this fight?
Holland. I think Holland's one of those guys. I mean, because he talks so much shit, everyone wants him to lose. But like, I don't know, man. I feel like he's like Stipe in the sense that everyone's like, he's about to fucking, but he always delivers, man. I mean, he got a knockout from his back.
That was crazy.
From like his knees. Like, I think that guy is like legit.
Was that Jacare he knocked out from his back?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you watch him. He's really tall. People don't know how big this dude is. He said he wants to fight Jake Paul next. He said,
really?
Yeah, possibly. He thinks that Jake, everybody thinks that Jake Paul is going to beat Ben Askren, except for Dana White. He's going to put $1 million on it. You said that he's going to bet on, that's going to be the second time he'd be bet on Askren loss. That was really funny. All right, so Jin Yu Free, I hit her up saying, I go, is this thing on? So we'll see if she's not looking at it. Nah, damn. So I guess we'll have her on next week. Yeah. But it's all right. We had two really good guests this week.
They're great.
So, all right. So let's talk. And then do you know the other guys fighting? You want to talk about some of the other fights that are going on?
Sure. Who is it again?
All right. Well, this week, LFA is Johns versus Souza. There's Fists of Fury. But let's go through the ESP. So Max Griffin is on the card. I love Max Griffin. Max Griffin is a good dude. He's like one of, if you guys don't know Max Griffin, he's a really, really good fighter. He's also like a big conspiracy guy, and he's very anti-lockdown. So it's always fun when the fighter is just go off. Like this is like fuck it, you know. It's probably also because they're like, you know. So let's see what else we got.
I feel like there's probably a lot of fighters that are very conspiracy theorist minded. You know what I mean? I think so. First of all, they have brain damage, a lot of them, number one. And number two is like, I'm kidding. But number two, like there is something about fighting, being the UFC, like the military, that lends itself to a very kind of like independent / right-wing mindset. You know what I mean? They're not a ton of bleeding heart liberals that are looking to beat the fuck out of somebody for a living. You know what I mean? There are, but I think we can skew, it's like the military. You can skew it a little bit towards the right. And I feel like the right is more conspiracy minded.
I also think that like right now it seems like the right are like outliers in some ways, you know, and fighters are that way. Like fighters are rebels. Like nobody says like, I'm sure dads are like, my kid's going to be a fighter, you know, but for the most part, like no one's sending their kid to school to come home to become a fighter, you know,
I love and they don't want to believe the government. They don't want to be like, you know, shills for the government. So now that the government believes in UFOs, now the new conspiracy is like UFOs aren't real, you know?
Really? UFOs aren't real?
Yeah, that's the new conspiracy.
Come on. Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, look it up.
I don't even know where to look this up. All right, so Cheyenne Baez, who came to my show, smoking hot girl, by the way, and cool. She's fighting this girl, Montserrat Ruiz. Cheyenne Baez was a girl who got kicked out of high school because I guess people were bullying her friend, and she beat up like seven bullies at once. And then went to their houses and beat them up and their parents. Like she has some crazy story that it was like out of she did the podcast a while back, basically beat up everybody. I got to root for her.
I mean, I feel like with women, you always root, this sounds awful, you always root for the hotter woman. I mean, really. For men, maybe not, but for women, it's like,
That's not me. I root for the one I usually know personally, who doesn't hate, the one who doesn't hate me, is the one who is the one, the one who hates me less is usually who I root for. Marion Renault is the oldest fighter I think in the UFC. She's also a school teacher, and she continues to be a school teacher. She's smoking hot Belizean. She's taking on Macy Chasen, who won the Ultimate Fighter, who looked like she was just gonna fuck everybody up, and then ran into some other girls, and that didn't happen. But this should be a good fight. Marion, like, sometimes pulls off crazy submissions that, like, she wins fights that you don't even think she's gonna win. So this should be a good fight. It should be a really good fight.
Now, she's actively a school teacher.
Actively a school teacher.
What grade?
High school.
High school.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, your high school? I think she's, like, maybe a gym teacher, like, goes out and, like, fight. Isn't, like, I'd much rather have that than, like, you know, Kevin, what's his name, the guy from the Boom movie?
Kevin James?
Yeah, I'd rather have fucking marry a hot Belizean than Kevin James fighting for my, so. And then, all right, now we'll skip to next week. We got UFC 260, Stipe versus Ngannou. I got Stipe. I don't know why. Everyone's telling me Ngannou, but I just feel like he's a really bright guy and he's not going to stand there in front of Ngannou.
I mean, I think it's going to play out the same way because you know how it is, Adam. You've been a wrestler for a lot of your life. If you're not a wrestler, you can't really learn a wrestling base at age 30. You know what I mean? It's like learning how to dribble a soccer ball when you're 40. Like you're going to suck. So I feel like if Stipe doesn't get caught, he'll just do the same thing and take him down. He'll be half guard. He'll just keep him out for the round. But he has to get him down without him getting caught. That's the whole thing. And Stipe did tell me personally, he said that Ngannou was the hardest hitter he's ever experienced in his life.
Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of sense. Volkanovski's taking on Ortega. That's a good fight. I mean, everybody just, like, dropped Ortega and said, oh, he's done. And then he beat the zombie, and everyone just went right back on that train. It was so – I never saw anybody get, like – everyone's like, we're done with this guy. All right, you're back. I mean, holy shit. But Volkanovski's consistently a beast. And for some reason, I like him in this fight.
I don't know. Really? I like Ortega.
You like Ortega?
Yeah. Should we make a bet? We got to keep making bets every week.
All right, I got 50 on Volkanovski.
Okay.
I mean, he did date Halle Berry, though. So you gotta give him that. Even if he loses, he won. That's what I hear, he dated Halle Berry. Tyron Woodley taking on Vicente Luque. Woodley, man, please win, Tyron. Please.
Yeah, he has to.
If he doesn't, it might be the time, you know?
Yeah.
But he's so good. He's so good. Everyone hates
him. Why is he so inconsistent?
Talk about mental. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, but his last fight against Colby was rough.
Yeah.
That was like, I did not see it playing out that way. I thought it was going
to be Colby was on point that fight, too. Colby was fucking great that fight. That was his best fight, I think.
Oh, my God. And he still can't get a title fight, which is crazy. And then Sean O'Malley versus Almeida. Almeida's, like, I think, lost 3 out of 4. O'Malley says he's still undefeated, which pisses everybody off. Everyone's like, no, you lost. But as much as people are going to get mad at me, I still think he's undefeated. That was a weird leg give out. I know it was strange. It was strange. Like, everyone says, well, it wasn't like Anderson Silva where he got dominated against Weidman the first time and the second time he was losing. And then O'Malley was winning that fight. Or at least I thought he was winning. I don't know. I don't consider that a loss. Yes, it's a loss. I get it. But if I'm being totally honest, I'm kind of on his team in this one. You think that was a loss?
For sure it was a loss, man.
Really?
I mean, it's a loss if you can't keep fighting, period.
Yeah, but is it, though? I mean, but yeah, of course it's a loss.
Put it this way. He shouldn't go around saying that he's undefeated. What is he getting from that other than people going, fuck you? He doesn't get anything from that. You know what I mean? He doesn't look cool saying, technically, guys, I'm undefeated.
You're right. I mean,
I like O'Malley. I mean, not just because I'm Irish, just because, like, you know, he's got. I like his style of fighting too.
It's amazing, but I think that's why his ankle's giving out. You don't have to do spinning wheel kicks every single fucking time. It's not, you know, it's like, bro, it's it's not capoeira. It's, you have, it's fighting, you know, it's MMA. Not to capoeira. Not, you, once in a while is okay, but you know, he like, instead of jabbing, he throws like triple lindens and shit. You know, it's
Come on, bro.
Alonzo Menafield, who was undefeated, he was a football. This guy's got a crazy story. He went to like 7 different group homes, couldn't read till he was like 13, 14, got adopted by like a Christian minister from Nigeria, who took him and his brother in. He learned how to play football. He almost made the NFL. And now he was undefeated as a fighter, and then he lost his last couple ones. I think he lost to OSP, got knocked out. But he's a great football player. Great story. Great guy. He's fighting William Knight. I don't know anything about William Knight. I got to look into that. Jessica Penne is back. Finally. Fuck. That girl got, like, banned for, like, 9 years from USADA. And I don't think she was taking anything. I don't
really?
Know. Really? I don't. She's so anal. And, like, I don't think – she's not a cheater. Like, she – something happened, but I don't think it was on purpose. Like,
What was her official thing? What'd she say? She said
– she didn't know what the fuck was going on. She's, like, took a smoothie and or something. I don't think – she was trying to gain weight because she was 105, so she was taking some type of supplement, but it wasn't, like – I don't know.
Do you think her trainer maybe put shit in there without telling her, which is the line that a lot of fighters take?
I don't know. I just know Jessica personally, and she's a very honest person. I mean, she's a very to a fault. She's moody. She's like cold. We went on a date before.
Oh shit! There we go.
It was not a good match. But then, like, she was on my show on Oxygen Channel. Like, I went out with a bunch of exes. Like, she did that for me. Like, she's cool. Like, she's like,
she's absolutely
a cool person. But she's, man, talk about, like, she's like, I have resting bitch face. She's like resting bitch personality. Like, she's, that's her. But she's cool. Like, it's hard to describe. Like, she's a great friend. I feel like a lot of female fighters are like, not married, it doesn't matter. But even when I wasn't married, they're like cool to hang out with.
Yes.
But you talk about like dating, it's just a different, it's a different level.
Yeah.
So she's fighting Hannah Goldie. It was also kind of a smoke show. So that's what we got coming up. Bellator, April 2nd, Pitbull versus Sanchez. I don't even know which Pitbull is which, but they're both amazing. Neiman Gracie is fighting Jason
Jackson. Wait, Bellator, Diego Sanchez?
Emmanuel Sanchez, who's really
okay. God, I was like, Diego Sanchez is he still fighting?
Jesus. He is. Diego Sanchez is fighting Cowboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would actually like that fight. That's a good fight.
What, for who?
I mean, I just think it would be a fun fight to watch.
Well, they train together, and Diego says he got the best of him, and he wants to fight him. But I don't know. That's a rough fight for Diego. I don't want to see Diego fight anymore. I don't want to see it. He's lost 9 rounds in a row.
I mean, oh, really?
And some of them were 10-8s. A lot of them were 10-8s. He's got this new trainer who's like a guru who everyone says is insane, who was like chasing around people with knives in the octagon. And he has a school called the School of Self-Awareness, but nobody's ever proved that he could actually fight. I don't know the guy. He hates
So Diego me. Might be fighting on LSD is what you're saying, which would be an awesome fight.
No, I know people that have like taken like ayahuasca around him, you know, and went on some retreats and stuff. That's to me like the scariest, the craziest part. I knew a guy told me that like Mike Tyson took ayahuasca with a bunch of shamans that had like a bad trip, and they had to call him because he was friends with Mike, and he pulls up and there's like 40 shamans running for their lives from Mike Tyson. And like, so they calm Tyson down. They're like running around the Malibu cliffs. Tyson's like, it's just like, I can't imagine. So, I put Diego in there as like people I would not want to trip with.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God, for sure.
I don't want to trip with anybody, but that's it. Hey, what do you got coming up?
Show wise, what do I got coming up? I got Tempe in 8th of Phoenix, like 7th, 8th of April. I'm going to be shooting SWAT this week.
The nice. TV show
SWAT.
Fuck yeah.
Playing a trucker.
Wow.
I get white trash. The rest of my life is just going to be fucking trash. That's all I can get now. It's fine.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Most people.
So that's it.
Nice. I will be at the House of Comedy in Arizona in Scottsdale this Thursday to Sunday. And then I'm in Tennessee in Chattanooga in April. And then I'm also in Boca at the Boca Black Box Comedy Club. Thank you guys so much. Take care. Bill, you're the best.
Thanks, Sam. Bye.